Blog Talk Radio.
How much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, the fireside is blazing bright. We're caroling through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me. Presents and cards are here. My world is filled with cheer and you. This Christmas, and as I look around, your eyes outshine the town they do. This Christmas, fireside is blazing bright. We're caroling through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me, yeah.
Shake a hand now.
There are seven wonders of the universe. You're about to hear the eighth. Welcome to Sports in Depth on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, with your host, award-winning journalist and commentator, the legendary Doc Stanley. You have time to tell a friend about Sports in Depth. It's heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem. Now, here's your host, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, on the Trust in God Radio Network. It's a early and still a Sunday sports wrap. Merry Christmas special edition, live from the Giants Raven game. Cincinnati Sea Winds will be joining us with the Giants once again. But that's not what we're talking about. Right now, we're going to stop and remember that as we move into the holidays, that Jesus is the reason for the season. And as we want to miss Merry Christmas to everybody out there, we also will always open our show the way we always do, Christmas time and every time, a prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day, letting you have your will and your way. Thank you, Lord, for little things we so largely take for granted. Let your way be our way. We thank you, Lord, for blessings forthcoming, blessings that have come, all unmerited. As a lady once said, you're God all by yourself. And as this season moves in, we have to realize that Jesus is the reason for the season, dear Lord. Emmanuel, God is with us. They had no place for him at the end. As a man once said, although we don't live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live on a park bench. The Lord bless our families here and abroad. Remember the people up in Connecticut. Remember people across the world with the same situations. More importantly, Lord, let us remember you, that you guide us. Bless our family here on the panel, our family in Brazil and Panama and DR. But more importantly, Lord, we thank you. We pay homage to you. As we say, Lord, remember that great saying that I first heard the great disco diva say. And she said, always remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. And with that, without further ado, it's time to slide down and bring in the man who will bring you into
chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
The classic Christmas song written by Mel Torme, made famous by the legendary, late great, the father of Nellie Cole and King Cole. And with further ado, I wish you happy holidays.
Being
the
sung
man
by choir,
who bring you into the Sports and Deaf Nation, the
and
one
folks
only,
dressed
Mel,
up like
Eskimos. Rooney, showtime.
Doctor, the Sports and Deaf Nation is here. The Sports and Deaf panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. The straw that stirs the drink is here. And that is the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Thank you, Rooney. You guys are the ones that are comparable. Yes, it's that time. Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. The crew is here. Carol. Double Barrel Western Jr., Dusty Rap X, Nate, Beat, Baseball Burger, Mel, Cosell, a.k.a. Little Coco, the First Lady, Fourth and Deaf, Trust God Radio, Lady A, Cincinnati, Z-Wing, live on location at the Cleveland New York Giants football game, from the top of the key. We're here. The issue. The New York Jets continue to lose. Is it really the quarterback? The Giants continue to lose. The question is, what's wrong there? Tom Brady brings his team back once again. Everybody's talking about Peyton Manning. But what about that running back? Peterson in Minnesota, en route to breaking your all-time rushing record. Nick Swisher is off to Cincinnati. And the Knicks are now playing after losing last night in Chicago against the Bulls. The Nets seem to be more on a downhill slide. We'll talk about that. Forthcoming fights, if there are any, really, after Pacquiao and Marquez. But the Sunday, the Giants are losing again. The Jets have already lost again. But you're the winners, because you're tuning in to Sports in Depth right here with the crew. Doc Stanley Sports Depth on the Justin Gargano Network. And we just want to thank you one time for joining us. Thank you, everybody. Happy holidays. Christmas. And like I said, subscription is RG3! And the Washington Redskins are in first place. And they play the Dallas Cowboys next week. Who won? I knew they would find a way to self-destruct after tying the game up with 10 seconds left. They lost overtime to the Saints, who continue to march on and still have a playoff shot. Sorry, Luke, the Steelers are gone. Cincinnati is in the playoffs. They beat Pittsburgh today. So, they will be in the playoffs, and that quarterback down in luck, out of luck. All-time record for a touchdown by a rookie, and the team is in the playoffs. They still got more. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trusted Guard Radio Network. And now, the panel and the doc bring you the best of sports by the best of reason. Thanks for being with us. Rooney, you are here. We did a little something yesterday, sort of a venting type of thing at this total.
Oh, I have a lot of vent. So go ahead, Doc.
This total disarray of the Jets, and there were some things that were said, and I really should even let Dusty hear this. You know, we're green again, and these kind of, well, it's that time of year with that. No, but you know, something was brought up.
You have a problem with that, Mister?
Well, speaking space. Yeah, but and you know, we just said that yesterday. You know, you look at Peyton Manning, who refused to come to this organization, okay? And he did this before he became a pro, and he did this after he became a pro. Now, we look at this whole thing with Tebow. And, you know, this is just a real slap in the guy's face that you jump over him and you bring in the third string.
Cool. You're right.
I mean, you bring in... And like I said, we're not going to let you vent because you... I mean, you're bringing
please,
the third-string quarterback.
I got a lot to say today. A lot.
First of all, they laid down
like dogs for most of the year to begin with.
Okay, let's give kudos where kudos belong.
Okay, kudos
Little
who?
Mel...
Who on that
Little
team deserves
Mel,
kudos?
Little Mel Coco last week said, read my lips.
The
Jets are going to lose and they're not going to make the playoffs. So the fact of the matter is that he was right on the money, Doc. So we, as panel members, must stand in line. You lead first. He said, read my lips. Now we have to kiss his lips. Because of the fact
that he was none of you guys, is 88 there? I might go for that.
No.
88. Hey, don't mention me neither. Everybody's getting eliminated. Pittsburgh's gone. The Giants are going to get eliminated.
Jesse,
the Cowboys are done. Everybody's done.
Hey, Jesse. Let me handle it,
because
Dusty.
I got steroid lips. So anybody else can.
You need Vaseline before you kiss him.
No.
Hey, I'll tell you something.
This is steroid.
Hold on. Real quickly, for the next couple of minutes, I'm going to let Rooney vent.
You said he wanted to make it. Money, and I'm going to back him up with a little saying here. Go ahead.
Hold, you know what? What we got to do, though, we got to, since we got to go live to Baltimore.
Forget about it.
Live to Baltimore.
Done.
Cincinnati Sea Wings. Okay, gang.
Yes, the burial of the Giants.
Okay,
and the Steelers. And the Cowboys.
What's happening, Wings?
The question is, what's not happening? The Giants here have played very lethargic in the first half, completing only four first downs compared to Baltimore Ravens 15. Some of the stats, Eli Manning was 9 for 13 for 6 yards. Joe Flacco was 15 for 2,202 yards. So it looks like that the Giants are playing very lethargic. They're not putting the pressure on Joe Flacco like they need to. If you compare the statistics and games where the Giants put pressure on quarterback, they went out to win. But here, the Giants, they look lost. It's hard to call. I mean, they only have 106 passing yards, 106 yards. The biggest receiver is Randall. I mean, with 42 yards, he's 1 for 1. The Giants, David Wilson, he had 2 rushes for 15 yards, and as we know, he was a big key 2 weeks ago and in there of the New Orleans Saints. The Giants here, they have to win today.
It's funny because it looked like they were going to get back in the football game. Baltimore got up 2 quick scores, but they came back. The big pass to Bennett, and then bango, there was the Flip Wilson in the end zone. It's a 14-7 football game. And you think everything is going to kind of right itself, but it hasn't. If I did say, and I don't want any lip kissing here, I say the Cowboys find a way to self-destruct. They come back and tie this football game up, and then in the most jet type of way, if we say, they lose the football game. So now, you know, for all intents and purposes, the Giants are still in it, win or lose, but right now, the big game next week is the Washington Redskins against the Dallas Cowboys. That's already beat them. Now, the Giants lose today. Cincinnati, see, your RG3, Chuck, we got to consider him for MVP. But another thing, you know, everybody's talking about Peyton Manning and losses. Adrian Peterson, who's having the greatest season than any running back's ever had. And the thing to come back, I mean, it was last year this time on Christmas Eve where he tore the ACL, the type of injury that a running back doesn't come back 100%, but this guy has come back better than ever, Cincinnati State.
Or you may even come back at all. I mean, he's looking to break Dickinson's record, which was held since 1984.
Yeah.
2,100 yards. And make a note today, Joe Flacco for the season has over 3,600
yards.
That's incredible. So he's crept in there. He put up some yardage for the season, and it just looks like that the New York teams were 0-1 already through they had in, but looks like the Giants here. I mean, they've been down by too many. They're down by, 17 points, but they have to get into that red zone. I mean, this is not the time for Lawrence Tynes to be attempting and missing field goals. We need seven. New York Giants need to score in the red zone, get back in this game, and put pressure on Flacco. That's going to be the key here to winning this game.
Another thought here. Cincinnati won a big football game today. Sorry to say for the hoops there.
Yeah, sorry.
They knocked out the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, can I say something about
game.
That? That was Ben's fault. That was Ben's fault on that. Two interceptions, no excuse for that. And the defense played very well today. Defense was excellent. Ben threw them two interceptions. And you know, him and Ty Hurley don't get along, so, by play calling.
Mm-hmm.
So, really, so that's why, they deserve to lose. Plus, they were banged up anyway. So.
Well, I mean, but I think you would just have to take our hats off, not only to Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Cincinnati, Marvin Lewis, definitely.
Also, you know, a guy
definitely.
You never, it's amazing how you never hear these names pop up when they have to be guys of a dark complexion. Lewis has done a tremendous job. I mean, you know,
yes,
he has.
He's from Baltimore, too. Everybody forget about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
From the Ravens.
I mean,
that's right.
He's done a tremendous job.
Yes, yes.
I think that Cincinnati, see, this playoff injection by the Bengals, should this save his job or get him an extension in Cincinnati?
Say that one more time.
Baltimore getting to the playoffs, they're playing such fine football. I mean, I think Lewis should get an extension or definitely save his job. But they were talking about his job being on the line.
No, job was never on the line, Doc.
I think this will help it. We know, like I said before, NFL stands for not for long. And what have you done for me lately? They were on the fly, Baltimore, so this may help it. It may not save it, but it may tilt it in his favor. So it's very locked here in the stadium. I mean, Baltimore Ravens, they have been their best for today. Their best for today. They've been on a losing streak, and they seem to be playing the right game of football today. I mean, even Peyton Manning, he's being pressured, and, you know, sacked, he's being pressured, and he's just he looks like the old Eli Manning when he was a little confused when he first started in the NFL. So, Giants, they have to get going today.
You know, it's funny that you say, you know, looking like the old Eli Manning. A win today by Baltimore, they clinch the division, they're in the playoffs. The Giants have to win their next two games to get into the playoffs. They would clinch, they would definitely be in the playoffs. With Dallas losing today, if they lost,
that was
still kind of leave them with an outside shot. But had the Dallas won, had them and Dallas and RG3 won, which they did win, Giants had won both of their games. As now with Dallas losing, that kind of helps the situation. But Washington Redskins, I mean, I don't think the Redskins are going to lose next week.
Nope.
So, we're looking at a shot of them clinching the division, which will lock up RG3 as rookie of the year. But one of the things, you know, it seems, I know since is the second half started yet, Cincinnati?
Second half started. Giants had to punt the ball.
They're laying down like dogs, 24-7, Doc. They're laying down like dogs.
Well, that fired them up. When Pittsburgh lost, that fired them up. they got fired up. They fired up. They playing with some urgency now.
I mean, Eli's back looking like Opie Taylor from the Andy Griffith Show, walking around with his shoulders.
You talking about they're in the huddle. They look like they know what he's going to do.
Yeah. What happened to that vaunted pass rush that we heard so much about last year? Where's my ball?
Dusty said two weeks ago that this you know, those big wins against Green Bay,
yeah,
and then he came back with the win against the Saints, and that was a win that they had enough points to cover before the Saints started marching back. Who's in the play? You know, it's been a long time. Dusty said, it's been a long time since the Giants have played well on both sides of the ball, and the Packer win looked like they were coming back into
it. San Francisco and Green Bay was it, Doc.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
seen
that,
but
we can take the rest of the season off.
But, yeah, but you know what? The thing that Dusty said was that the win against the Saints was more of us playing just a little better than them at the right time, because even nowhere near the performance that they had against Green Bay, which told us the Giants are back and on the way back to the Super Bowl, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, look like the curtain's coming down now. The curtain's coming down.
They don't have defense anymore. They have no pass rush anymore. They can't even stop the run.
I mean, the offense is not clicking either. Like, man, they look like he's scared to death out there.
Real quickly, gentlemen, a little update. Nick Swisher is going to Cleveland. He's leaving New York City. Ichiro signed a 2-year deal with the Yankees. Derek Jeter, the classy one. I always say about Derek Jeter, he wears number 2 because he's second to no one as a player and a person. He's everything that Joe DiMaggio was supposed to be, everything Mickey Mantle wasn't. A real live American hero. The great, the one and only, the only Yankee to ever get 3,000. The only Yankee to win an All-Star MVP award. The one and only, Derek Sanders
Jeter.
The first and only African-American captain of the Yankees. Full. Willie Randolph was co-captain with Ron Guidry, but it's right. Derek Sanderson Jeter, who was the first ever black captain of the legendary New York Yankees and a growing legend.
Hey, Doc, am I going to get my 2 minutes to vent?
Hold on just a minute. Let me find this here. Hold on. Everybody, hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, for the next 5 minutes, he will scream, he will holler, he will jump up and down. He will tell you why he's always said that the JETS Jets meant wreck and why he and the fireman both left. Ladies and gentlemen, the one only for the next 5 minutes with Harold Weston and the Wings. Rooney, tell us what you love about the Jets.
I love the fact that their season is over and I don't have to watch them anymore this season. That's what I love.
Hey, let me you got a jersey. You can burn his jersey now.
What they need to do, Doc, is get rid of everybody from the top down. You can't get rid of Johnson because he owns the thing. But everybody else needs to go. Their GM needs to go. Rex needs to go. Sperano needs to go. You need to replace Tony Sperano with Tony Soprano. That's how bad he's been. You need to get rid of Rex. You need to get the whole. I mean, Doc, he's this guy all season long. I'm saying, well, I'm not going to replace Sanchez because he gives us the best chance to win. Well, how can you say that every week when you lose? Every week the guy says, I'm not going to replace him because he gives us the best chance to win, and every week you lose. How is that your best chance to win? The reason the guy, everybody wants to know, well, why didn't he play Tim Tebow? The reason they didn't play Tebow is self-preservation. He knew that if he played Tebow at this late stage and the guy came off looking good, and heaven forbid they should look halfway crisp and then win a game, then they're going to say, why didn't you play him earlier? Why did you have him sitting on the bench if this guy looks this good? So, of course, I can't play him now because I'm going to look like a fool if the guy comes in and tears up the place. So let me go with McElroy. Like you said earlier, now, how are you going to skip Tebow when you gave up 2 draft choices to bring this guy over here and not play him and then start the third string guy over?
Hey, Doc, you know, Denver's playing half a salary of Tebow's contract, you know.
Well, Sanchez is due $8.5 mil.
Guaranteed.
Year.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed, yeah.
They're not going to trade him because they want to eat that money.
Yeah.
He'll be back next year. He's coming back next year, and Rex is coming back next year. So
right,
forget about it. You're stuck again
anyway.
With him. I'm sorry. You're stuck with him.
And if they
I'm sorry.
Dump him inside him anyway, that's $17 million towards the salary cap. So they have to keep this lane.
And Rex got a 2-year contract at $6 million, so
yeah.
He ain't going nowhere.
But did you guys read about the fact that did you guys read about the fact that Tebow's going to the Jaguars?
Yeah, it's his hometown.
Yeah.
Should have went there in the first place.
But the fact of the matter is he couldn't play these games because broken ribs, I believe. So he was not like, that's why they moved up McElroy.
Yeah, but that was the confusion. They could have started him way before the broken rib thing, as bad as Sanchez was playing this year.
Look, I agree with you 1,000%. He should never have even. I've been beating the drums. He should never have come here in the first place.
That was a PR move, and that was publicity stunt for the papers. That was a PR move.
This was an assassination by design of upper management, man. They destroyed the Jets. The only time that the Jets have ever had any semblance of respectability was Joe Namath when he took them to the Super Bowl. Other than that, they've been floundering.
Incidentally, fans. Dusty also was on that team. Dusty was the assistant coach on that
team
that won the Super Bowl.
I carried the buckets for Joe Namath, man.
Not only did you carry the buckets, but as I said, you were the one refereeing Cain and Abel, baby.
and cleaning the mouthpieces, right?
Hey, Hoops, in those days, there wasn't no mouthpieces, baby.
I mean, clean your teeth with a towel.
Yo,
never helmets and no mouthpieces.
You know what I'm saying about the Jets thing? And me and Dusty talked about you look at you know, and give me a couple minutes, Jim. Let me rumble it. I mean, Woody Johnson had said even before the season kind of got off pretty
Lord,
good.
You got to bring that
up.
Okay, Doc,
he was more concerned about getting Obama out of office
Absolutely.
Than his team winning the Super Bowl. Then you
That's
brought
right.
in Tebow. And, you know, and Klecko said something that he was a guy, and it looked like a pretty good move here. Here's a guy who had took his team to the playoffs, okay, who had beat the Pittsburgh Steelers and
Absolutely.
Who had captured the nation. Now, what I've said is, you know, everybody's talking about what Tebow can't do. What the hell was Mark Sanchez doing? At some point, Tebow should have got a shot, and this shows a lack of class, a lack of credibility to turn around and jump from the second-string quarterback to drop to the
third-string
quarterback and then turn around. I mean, Rex Ryan said the other day he had a gut feeling. What gut? He didn't have a gut anymore. What kind of
gut
feeling?
But,
I mean, what you tell me? I mean, he didn't have a feeling after the San Francisco game when they ran roughside over the Jets and Sanchez. He didn't have a feeling.
But Doc, you have to understand that by law, by contract, you cannot use your they're in line like number one and then number two. And number three, number two was Tebow, which was a starting quarterback. He had no business there in the first place. They should have had Sanchez and McElroy.
You know, Dusty, again, stop, because you said something, and stop bringing up these important points, Dusty. I'm not going to tell you this again, okay? Stop this.
Okay, I'm going to put you blue all the time.
You made it now, because here was another thing, too. Here was a guy, McElroy, who was your number two. This was your number two guy. And all of a sudden, you slid him to number three, and
you
now all of a sudden, this vision has brought you back to bring him in to win football. And I said this too. Now, the Jets defense has played really outstanding.
Yeah.
Monday night, you know, 14 points ain't a lot of points. And when they just won the game with McElroy, they only gave up 6 points. But on the other hand, Cincinnati teammates, I want you to come in here, and you said this before, people have forgotten the constant deletion of the talent that originally was around Sanchez. You talked about that, you know, the people they would sign, the people that left, and that's been a big thing. Okay, Sanchez is not Joe Namath, but, you know, he wasn't the guy that we see now. But Cincinnati, for all intents and purposes, and I've already heard that Jacksonville, they want Tebow, but I don't hear anybody want Sanchez. Have you? Have you heard anything, Cincinnati,
I haven't heard anything. Like you said before in the last show, he may end up in the Canadian Football League.
He's
burning his jerseys as we speak right now.
I mean, who's going to the guy's a turnover magnet. I mean, you can't win any football games. I mean, football is one of the sports where he needs a turnover.
Not only that. You know, okay, I can understand striking out with a run on first, nobody out. But you can't keep striking out the bases loaded. You can't keep striking out in the ninth inning. This guy, and you brought this up, this guy had the most INTs of any quarterback in the red zone, which once again, Dusty, we talked about it yesterday. See, in today's football game, in the old days when Dusty played back with Sid Lockman and Otto Graham, you know, the quarterback called his own plays. So if he didn't work out, the fault was on me. The fault was on Dusty, Warren Moon, Joe Mitchell. But in today's game, okay, when the plays are coming from the sideline, how do you let this guy throw four INTs in one game?
I have to hit the panel with this statistic. And then I'll stop. You guys have to hear this.
And if you
think that I'm wrong, go to the internet and check it now. Counting this year and last year, over the last 2 years, Sanchez has turned the ball over. Now, listen closely. Now, if you think I'm wrong, go check it now. Over the last 2 years, he has turned the ball over 50 times. I didn't say five. I didn't say 15. 50 times over the last 2 years.
You know what? It's time to go to the man. He's living listening. Let's hear what the man said and touching. Harold, how bad do the Jets sign to you, Harold?
Man, I mean, I'm moving out of New York.
Harold, you said what?
I'm moving out of New York. These teams make you look so embarrassing. And you know, when New York goes anywhere, you have a good little reputation. But these guys today, it's not the players; it's the coaching.
Exactly, the management. Absolutely.
It's they really don't know what they're calling, what they're doing, and
they're
coming back with the same old plays that they played
How much does this remind you of what you and Dusty keep talking about? Trainers who don't know anything, people put in positions and have no idea what to do, Hal. How much does this remind you of boxing?
Well, I mean, you know, it just doesn't have to do, I mean, you know, I know about life is moving in a fast way and how things are picking up in a certain way. And not moving in that era when it's moving like the Giants are still moving like they were playing 1960s.
Right.
These guys now got quarterbacks that move, that throw on the move. They got guys, little guys at 5'8" can run speed right through you. I mean, you gotta come up to times and say, okay, we got to change a lot of these plays because we got these little fast guys and these quarterbacks that can move and run, can throw on the run. And
absolutely.
And the Giants just sits there. They, you know, they sit there and let a guy throw the same play every time.
Over
he
and
takes,
over.
The quarterback
there
takes the play to the halfback, and then he takes the quarterback takes the ball, runs to the other side, and throws that for 10 yards, 15 yards. He does it every time. Don't you know
exactly.
After a while he does it after 15 times, you know that you should start putting a man on him every time he does
they
that?
Expect
man, Flacco's
tearing
him apart, man.
Jesus.
This is exactly,
right. This is just ridiculous.
This
it's
is
like
exactly
a man,
right.
If a man hit me with a right hand, a straight right hand every time, a lead right hand, and I get hit with it every time I stand there, something's got to be wrong.
Something's got to be wrong with you. Right, it's true, because this is what I've been telling you. That in any sports venue, you change the play. In any sports venue, you change because the enemy is waiting for you to do the same thing time and time. How many times have I seen first and goal, and they run it, and they got the Great Wall of China blocking you?
Hey, Dusty,
what?
Let's run the ball. Hey, let's fool them, Dusty. Let's run the ball straight to the middle. Let's fool them.
Right. Straight to the middle. We're going to fool them.
And I mean, we were so crazy about today's game with the Jets and the Chargers. The Chargers is worse than the Jets.
Exactly.
Harold, not anymore.
No more. You know what I'm saying?
But
they made the Chargers look like world champions.
Right. And the problem
is that Sports and Death on the Trusted Guard Radio Network is a Sunday special. The panel's all here. We're talking good football, RG3 and the Washington Redskins, and we're
good
talking horrible football. And just pick your New York team. Gentlemen, give me 2 seconds, a little break. We'll be right back. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Trusted Guard Radio Network. Donnie Hathaway. Well, you know, there is one team in New York, and what the world is not in love, that's the Stanley Turn team. It's that time of the season where it seems people are more accepting, more loving, more giving. These are the reasons for the season. Let's go to Hoopsa for a minute. The Hoopsa, we're talking basketball. The Knicks are really playing well. Patrick Ewing, I read the other day, and you know how true it is, but he sees Carmelo Anthony being a vital part. What I'm saying is two things, you know. It doesn't seem to me, Hoopsa, that the Lakers have gotten any better. I mean, what's D'Antoni doing, and what's wrong with the Lakers?
What's wrong? We need to change that offense. That's the problem. But Steve Nash came back. They looked pretty good last night. So we'll see what happens. You got to change the offense.
How good is Nash, Hoopsa? I mean, I know he's been one of the great.
He's a good point guard. He's not direct the team. That's what he needed.
But I don't see. You know, I see that the guy won 2 back-to-back MVPs. I'm befuddled. I don't know how he won 2 back-to-back MVPs. There's no team that I would put together that Steve Nash could be a starting guard on my team. But
okay.
Does he make that much of a difference coming back to the Lakers?
Yes, he does. Because without him, they seem lost out there.
Really?
They had no direction out there. Now they look. We'll see what happens now he's back. So we'll see what happens. Oh, also,
the
I have some good
night,
news for you.
What?
Your good friend, Isaiah Thomas, is now a commentator for NBA TV. We want to congratulate him.
Isaiah Lord Thomas, you know.
Yes,
I,
he
I,
does.
I,
that's right. He's
I,
up there.
I love Isaiah, a great basketball player.
Yes,
a great coach, a great him. I never forget, you know, gentlemen, and I think everybody knows here that there was a rivalry between the Bulls and the Knicks, but also it got out of hand. I think everybody knows here that the MJ was a part of the proponent of the people, whoever, whatever number,
that kept Isaiah off that Olympic team. And I remember talking to Isaiah one time, Zeke, and I said, you know, Zeke, I said, I always have to take my hat out for you, because anytime he would commentate a game, you could never hear any sarcasm, you could never hear any negativity, you could never hear any sounds of revenge when he speak about it. He always spoke and put Michael Jordan in tones of reverence and greatness and appreciation. And I said, you know, Zeke, I said, you know, I take my hat off to you, man. I said, you know, in wake of what come down. And he told me something I'll never, ever forget. He always reminded me of Michael Jackson. He said, hey, man, he said, you know, I got to look at myself in the mirror. And I tell you, you know, Isaiah Thomas, man, is one of the greatest players that ever played this game. I always said the Dream Team was perpetrating the fraud, thanks, Dusty, without him on it, and Dominique Wilkins. But when he said that, it just took him to a whole other level. He said, hey, I got to look at myself in the mirror. I remember asking Trent Tucker one time, I said, who's the best one-on-one player in the league? And you would think right away he would say Jordan. He said, hey, man, it's a toss-up between Isaiah and Jordan. There were things that Isaiah Thomas did that Michael Jordan couldn't do. Michael wasn't the pass Isaiah was, couldn't handle the ball like Isaiah did, and really didn't have the jump shot that Isaiah did. And if you remember, Isaiah Thomas, were the worst team, won the NBA championship before Michael Jordan did with his teams. And I want to just congratulate my friend, love Isaiah deeply. Great
NBA
player.
TV, yep.
Yeah. And hope so. Now, what's the story with the Nets? The Nets seem to be going the other way. But from what I'm hearing now is that where the offense is geared up, it's really not conducive to what Williams is used to. Johnson hasn't made the adjustment, it seemed like at first. But any truth to that, that the way the offense is set up is not really conducive to bring out the best in and
Williams? Well, can I tell you something? When the coach tell you to run a play, you got to run the play. Period. You don't care run the play. You sit your butt down. That's it. That's being real. That's being truthful. You don't know the play, sit down.
Okay,
stop making excuses for himself. Come on now. You started issues in Utah with Jerry Sloan. Now you try to start with Avery Johnson? Avery Johnson got two rings. What you got? Nothing.
Well,
come on.
I mean, no, it's nothing that he said. Now, here's the other thing, too, I want to talk about. It seems Stoudemire, I've heard that the Knicks are trying to trade him. They've been doing quite well without him. He has to come back as a guy off the bench, or does he have to come back as a starter?
Bench. Does he come in as a starter? He'll mess up everything. So I think he'll still come off the bench. He said he would like to come off the bench. He said he would do it.
But he's not ready to come back, they say.
He might be back for the Lakers game. They say he might be back for the Lakers.
I'm not going to tell you again about butting in with his good point. I'm not going to tell you this again. You know, it might be a Bart Starr. Tremendous point. And I like that about Wood, that he's not going to rush this guy. We're doing well. I remember Bart Starr. I'm not going to tell you. I remember the great Bart Starr. 8 years as a backup quarterback on the Green Bay Packers, who was MVP, the first two Super Bowls. I remember we had an affair down at the Doc Stanley Sports Network, the Trusted Guard Radio Network, Sports Network, the show, and the great Gordie Howe, the great Walt Frazier, the great Bart Starr, and the great Jim Catfish Hunter. And I saw Bart Starr, I said, Mr. Starr, and he said, hey, it's Bart. So inadvertently during the course of the event, I said, Mr. Starr, he said, hey. He said, it's Bart. And, of course, I said, the third time he said, I'm not going to tell you again, it's Bart. And this shows you the class and character of these people. And you know, Dusty, you were talking about Harold, too, about the adjustments. And I remember they talked about the Bear Bryant from Alabama, and they said they played against a team, and they had a great black running back, and he kind of ran all over them. And Bear said, you know, to catch one of those guys, you have to have one of those guys on your team. but Bear Bryant was the first proponent for integration of college football, you know, because of a long time, SEC and those ACC, they didn't have black players, but Bear Bryant was a proponent a long time ago. Okay,
yeah.
We got who's our last caller?
Rudy. Robinson.
Hey, Rudy, good to have you. Rudy, glad you joined us. Rudy Robinson.
Hey,
how are you, Rudy?
Yeah, I'm down. All right, how y'all guys doing, man? Yeah, I'm down here in Baltimore at the Giants game, man.
I'm glad you're here because we also have our man, Cincinnati Seawings. Rudy, real quickly, I mean, what has happened? Well, here's a team that when they beat the Green Bay Packers, hey, they're on track, they're rolling again, they kind of fell a little bit, they came back, beat the Saints, but as Dusty said, I hate to keep, oh my goodness, but as Dusty said, the win against New Orleans wasn't really a bona fide win, per se. I mean, in the sense that they didn't play both sides of the football. What, in your estimation, seems to be wrong with this football team all of a sudden?
Well, you know, you got to look at two or three things. One, the Giants, when they won the Super Bowl last year, they were 7-7 at that point. They're 8-6 now going into this game.
Wow.
So if you really look at them, they're only 15-18. So it's not like they were 20-6. The Giants are 28th in the league in defense. You know, I mean, the defense is not really good. But if they don't put pressure on the pass, the secondary and the linebackers really don't make enough plays in order to compensate for the defense. Then I think the other thing with the Giants, too, is that from the running standpoint, you know, with the first when they had Derek Ward, Brandon Jacobs, and Amar Bradshaw together, okay, they had the three strong good running backs together. Okay, you let Derek Ward go. Okay, that's one. You still had Jacobs and Bradshaw. Then you let Jacobs go. Now you just got Bradshaw. But one thing about Bradshaw, he's not durable. You know what I'm saying?
He has a brace on his left leg.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, look, he's better than Sean Green of the Jets, but Sean Green doesn't miss any games. Bradshaw, I mean, you know, you can be as good as you want, but if you're sitting in the trainer's room, then it doesn't help.
Hey, that great line, a Maserati with a quarter tank of gas can't go as far as a Mustang with a full tank.
That's what I'm saying.
Doc, but they have a quality backup, too. You know, they could sit Bradshaw one or two plays and give his leg a leg around because he's walking with a brace,
Dusty,
and that brace doesn't
I just
doesn't
told
bend.
You about this. I just told you about this, and you did it again. Because before, on top of the show, Buck
said
what you're saying, you know what, why play the guy if he's not 100%, okay? Play the guys that are 100%. And this is the thing with Rudy just saying, you know, we always marvel at Bradshaw, but even though he didn't play, let's say, 90% of the time, his 65% was outstanding, but the other guys compensated. And I think defensively, too, it was great because defenses never could adjust to him. Now with his longevity of playing time, they're making the adjustments, Rudy.
Exactly.
That's right. And you also got to remember, too, just say one last thing. Giants weren't really running the ball that well last year until like the 15th week of the season. Now you're going to
call
season,
you Dusty, too, now.
Yeah, okay. No, I was just going to finish this last point. And then
go ahead, but
the Giants, they're 15th in the league in rushing the ball now. So if you're not running the ball, see, the thing people don't realize about running the ball is that it eats time off the clock. So your defense is on the field less. You know, if you're throwing the ball every down, you better be throwing it like Brady or Peyton Manning where you're moving the ball down the field, you know, and giving the defense a chance to rest. The Giants' defense comes back on the field. They get exposed.
Right.
You know.
And tonight, too, the Giants cannot make that third down and get into the red zone. I mean, Baltimore just went 16 plays, 82 yards, 7 minutes, 57 seconds. They didn't come out with a touchdown with the 3 points. It's 27-7. So that's all talk.
They've killed some clock. And, you know, if the Giants don't come back and strike quickly, then for all intents and purposes, what the Ravens wanted to do has worked. Because even though we didn't score, you know, that whole thing, you know, okay, I kept you from scoring. You know what I mean? So it worked out. I didn't score, but you didn't score. But Dr. Andy Sports Network on the Trust and God Network is a Sunday show. They're all here. Double Barrel, Howard Weston Jr., Mel Cosell, Smith Jr., a.k.a. Little Coco, Dusty, Rap X. Nate B. Berger is on assignment. Lady A also is too. But the Hoops is in the house. And Cincinnati Sea Wings and Sure Shot Ria Zudi has joined us with him. And Cincinnati are live from that game. You know, Rudy, I said this. I kept telling the panel, you know what? What's going to help the Giants is inconsistency or the way that, you know, the Dallas Cowboys find ways to lose game. RG3. They won today. It looked like, really, for all intents and purposes, they're about ready to wrap up the division. But the Cowboys, they come back. Someone said, too, you know, they were going for the touchdown instead of getting the first down, but they got the touchdown. And then in the most jet-like way, they lose the football game. No, they always find a way to lose when they shouldn't. And I think that may be the one saving grace today. If they both lose today, and it looks like the Giants are on the way to another loss, that the Giants still may have an outside shot, because I think no way, shape, or form, even though it was a tough game today for Washington, I, well, you never know. But, I mean, Washington, is going to play them next week. But the big thing
is... You know the Giants are, Doc. Since Howard and Dusty are former champion fighters. You know they are. They're consistently inconsistent. The Giants are Zab Judah. That's who the Giants are.
Wow.
You don't know which one is going to show up. Is it going to be the all-star jab? Or is it going to be the jab?
I got something better. They self-destruct. They self-destruct. That's what they do. They self-destruct.
It's just the Giants are self-destruct.
That's right. What's going to help the Giants, though? Nobody self-destructs better than the Giants, except how about them Cowboys? And today was
That was a hell of a game.
Yeah. All the way to the overtime score. Overtime,
4-something, 400-something yards.
When you look at the Giants, I mean, you have to look at one thing. I mean, they don't usually play well at home. You know, they have a lot of losses in the last 2 years.
Exactly.
Really
exactly.
Bad teams at home.
They're a great road team, but they haven't been, Rudy. They lost in Washington.
And on a game where
the defense played well, where special teams and the offense got all the penalties, and they're losing it here again in Baltimore. The one thing that you can say about the Giants was that as a team that had to host them, you didn't want to see them. But you brought a great point up, Rudy. They're not winning at home or on the road anymore.
Look at how New England lost that game at home on Monday night. That's their first home loss in December in like 10 years or something like that. You know,
wow.
You don't see that from the Giants. You know, I mean, the Giants, I mean, that's why to me, if you look at their record going into today's game between last year and this year, they're only 15-13 in the regular season. I mean, you know, it's not like they, you know, were dominant in the regular season, not like in New England or anyone else like that. But see, the Giants and the Jets, if you really think about it, they've played well in the playoffs. I'm saying when those two teams over the last 4 to 5 years have made the playoffs, they've done well. But in the regular season,
people remember the guys who won the NBA championship in the World Series. They don't care how they got there. All they know, they're in the title game, and they win, and that's all.
That's right.
They're not bomb burners during the season, but when it comes to the nitty gritty, they go out there and kill you. Prime time.
Yeah, they win the big games. The Jets, I mean, as bad as Mark Sanchez played, when he got in the playoffs, he did work. I mean, you can't criticize him for that, you know, but right now, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you can't. I'm not just go off a little bit. You can't come back with him now, but I'm just saying that, you know, the Giants and the Jets, look at their records in the regular season last 4 years, the two of them. You know, they're barely above 500, both teams.
They both played mediocre football during the regular season. They've both been mediocre teams during the regular season.
Yeah, but they got in the playoffs with 9-7, 10-6 records. You know? they didn't get in 13-3.
And you know what? If you go back to that year, 3 years ago when New England was 11-5 and couldn't get in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Couldn't get in the playoffs, 11-5 and couldn't get in the playoffs. Maybe had a better team or a team almost somewhat as good as that one that went into the finals. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Trusted Guard Radio Network, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, gang.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares?
Playing this in memory of today up in Connecticut, the last burial of the children who were slain last Friday.
Really
we just want to let you know that here at Sports and Death, the panel, everybody here.
Now come a time.
Steve, Hal, Mel, Rudy, Cincinnati Seawigs, the Hoopsa, Lady A, myself, Doc Stanley, our prayers and thoughts are with you. And we just want to let you know the great line that earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. And also, it's that time of the year. So from everybody here on the Sports to Death, I never wish everybody a very happy and merry Christmas. The reason for the season is J-E-S-U-S.
Chestnut
Son of God, Jesus Christ.
Nat
King Cole was the greatest Christmas song of all time. I remember my Aunt Dumpsy, Fonetta, turning to my
Jack
dad one
Frost
Christmas, right up at 127th Street, 103 West 127th Street, apartment in Harlem. She turned to my dad, she said, you know,
Yuletide Carol,
it ain't Christmas,
being sung by choir.
Did you hear that song? Mel Tormé wrote
folks
this song.
Dressed up like Eskimo.
Dolly Parton wrote, I Will Always Love You. You know what Houston did to it?
Knows.
Before that, Nat King Cole.
The turkey
and it is another Sunday. They said the Jets and the Giants are on their way to another loss. the Jets are out of anything. The Giants are trying to stay into everything. The Pittsburgh Steelers today were eliminated by a fine football team. Cincinnati Bengals came back to win their football game. The Saints, who we thought were DEAD, are still got a shot because they beat the very inconsistent, who will always find a way to lose if you let them, Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, that was a heartbreak.
RG3. You know, Harold, I'll go back to you because we want to mix up some things here. Do you think the world wants to see a Marquez Pacquiao fight? Harold?
Hello?
Do you think the world wants to see would you pay to see? I mean, okay, but do you think the boxing fans want to see a Pacquiao Marquez fight?
Yeah, because I was getting ready to tell you, I wouldn't pay to see nobody fighting boxing.
Harold, that's why I had to rephrase it, Harold. You know?
Right, right. I'm glad you did that.
If you ain't comp, you ain't going, right?
That's it.
On the other hand, Dusty will pay to see two roaches, okay, Black Flag against Raid,
that's
undisputed
right.
Roach of the world, three rounds of four crackers,
As long as they have Everlasting Toughwear on, I'm going to shoot them. Are you kidding me? 50
wow.
cups, 50 cups. Humans or roaches, still a fight.
No, the problem is in boxing today, you got people at the helm that don't know what the heck they're doing. All they know is that there's a boxing ring, you focus fighters in there, and people supposed to come out and see them, okay?
Right.
They have no idea these guys at the TV stations, at the, you know, who these guys are putting money behind, you know, these promoters, so-called, because you get promoters from everywhere. And
right.
it's just, and you got commissioners that have no idea of what they're doing. Because the other night I saw a fight that they call a decision at one point that...
The Cunningham fight?
The Cunningham fight.
Yeah, the Cunningham and...
That was
the
saddest situation in the world.
The Polish
because you cannot do things like that. That's because commissioners are supposed to stand there, read the cards, and before they give it to the announcer... say this is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
Michael
coming
Buffett
back and they say, oh, we made a mistake. They
we made a mistake
such,
by one
and
point.
And he won the fight.
Exactly.
That looks like there's a gimmick going on.
Exactly. It is a gimmick.
I mean, so basically, you got incompetent boxing commissioners, you got incompetent promoters, you got incompetent doctors, and you got a whole incompetent broadcast people. Nobody knows what they're doing. Nobody knows what to do. And then you got fighters that can't even fight.
Exactly. But, getting back to the original question, Doc, and for everybody's edification, you know, money-wise, and I've counted this, I've heard of people, I spoke to people in the street and the whole nine yards.
Consuelo and Enrique, go ahead. Consuelo and Enrique, you got it. Go ahead.
They were glad that finally Marquez got a even. And now they're saying, man, it would be great if they fight two or three more fights so they can balance out.
That fight is a joke, but you know what? You know why it'll draw? Because you're still going to have your Philippine people going to see it, and then you're going to have the Mexican. That's a big crowd, and you're going to get your million-point-something people watching the fight. And that's what it's all about. It's not just America no more, and that's where it's all going, based on.
How sad is that the American interjection, and we're talking about if you look back at, I think Cincinnati Sea Wings has left us, well, let's go back. Ali, yourself, Leonard, Hagler, Hearns, there's no interjection. And you look at a guy who did so much for the boxing scene and really got a few minutes left, didn't get enough credit. You know, Hector Macho Man Camacho, you know, it's amazing. Billy Holiday said, America, you know, you're not famous till you're dead. And now everybody realized what a great part of the boxing scene and of the boxing venue that this guy was. And, I, you know, it's a guy I can't say enough about. And you know, I can't think about Hector, Harold, and I think about you. And you said something, you know, people didn't think Hector could fight. And you talked about that time when you're at the gym and Hector is pushing around another good buddy of ours, Davey Moore.
Right.
Yeah.
Another thing about Hector is, like I said, you had people that were looking at Hector and they thought he was just fast and flashy little kid, and that's all it was. They didn't see what I'm saying is that a lot of people are not going to see what I see in fighters or about men that I know that I think they have capability of being a good fighter because it takes a lot of teaching, and there's other things that be added to bring that ability out. But my point is that with Hector and the people that he was managing him and doing his affairs, those guys like Aram and Duven, they would never mess with the managers that he had at the time. I mean, and so basically, those guys was very lucky that I was in the position I was in because I was able to talk to them and knew what they had and how to make Hector move to the top. And a couple of more kids. Let me just say this to you, okay? And you can say, and I'm going to say it loud because it's going to be true, and none of them guys can say it's not true. There would be no Hector Camacho without Harold Weston.
There would be no Hopkins
without Harold Weston. Uh-huh. There would be no Mike McCallum without Harold Weston. Okay? There would be no Carl Williams without Harold Weston. All right? There would be no Iran Barkley without Harold Weston. Okay? I mean, none of them would not have made a dime in their life like they made $1 million-something in the time they was in boxing if I was not the person that moved their careers to where they went and fought for the world championship and won the world championship. It was me who made it all happen.
The first and only African-American matchmaker.
Doc, let me say something here.
Oh, matchmaker. Gentlemen, we got to close it out. Last standing sports step on the Trust and Guard Network. We've got about 4 minutes left. Everybody here wants to say happy holidays, Merry Christmas to you. We'll be back on the air in a couple of days, live from Brazil. And with that, leave you with three thoughts. Live your life today, and if you stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is the rent you pay for your space on earth. We're going to close out with some Donny Hathaway, and then with the greatest Christmas. You know what? We're going to let Nat close us out. Rooney, tell everybody good night.
All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for allowing me to come on the show, man. And happy holidays, everybody, and for listening.
Thanks, Rooney. Close out, Rooney.
All right, Nathan Destination's been here. Our Sports In Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We have been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network, and the straw that serves the drink has been here. And that's the incomparable Dr. Stanley. Thank you, Doctor.
Okay, gentlemen, the best of holiday season to you. Our next show will be live from either São Paulo, of course, the ladies in Brazil, which I'll be doing. And we want to say Merry Christmas to everybody. And remember, Jesus is the reason for the season. Nat King Cole takes us out, the Christmas song. Gentlemen, God bless you all. I no doubt deserve enemies. I doubt if I deserve my friends. You are not friends but family. Doc Stanley, Sports and Devil.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe.
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports in Depth, heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem.
Trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, fireside blazing bright.